Hello there. My name is Kaylee, and I'm extending a warm invitation into Kaylee's Corner. Kaylee's Corner. I actually forgot to introduce myself last episode. I just said my name, and I did not say anything about myself, so I have to say now, my name is Kaylee. I'm a sociology major at Biola, and I like music, and I'm 19, and then on the other mic, I've got a longtime buddy of mine, Andrew Ambrose. So, tell me everything about you.
Me!
That was disgusting. That was so bad. Just like she said, my name is Andrew Ambrose. I'm a sophomore here at Biola. Currently studying cinema and media arts, but I will be switching over to music next semester. I'm very excited for that. I'm 20. I just turned 20. Very weird. I'm in my 20s.
I don't like that. I've known Andrew since I was 13, so yeah, it feels like it's been a few minutes, quite honestly.
Yeah,
Andrew is someone that I've known for most of my teenage years, and that is, I think you were actually the first person ever that I was ever able to talk about music with, ever, because being the weird girl in school, you know, no one wanted to hear me talk about 21 Pilots. No one wanted to hear me talk about Melanie Martinez, okay? Fair. I would not have made it digestible for them, but yeah, that's super cool, and I know that you are plenty excited about this episode. I'm plenty excited about this episode because we get to talk about one of your favorite artists, Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
However, we are not limiting the conversation to that.
Wonderful.
But I would like to discuss the phenomenon and the impact that he had in the 70s in the yacht rock scene and 80s film music scores, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Especially since Kenny had like such a large, large impact on the most archetypal 80s movies sounds. Mm-hmm. Like it's so distinct and specific to the decade. But the floor is basically open to anything that pops in your head. I value your input. So let's just get the ball rolling.
Let's get it rolling.
So Kenneth Loggins.
Kenneth Loggins.
Born January 7th, 1948 in Everett, Washington, which is where I want to go. I want to go now. But he's lived to see so many musical transitions, which is kind of interesting to me that like he was one of the founding fathers for yacht rock, which if you don't know, I don't actually know how to describe it. Just like
any party kind of fun, relaxing music that you listen to on a yacht.
I mean, it was probably the most prevalent genre for the 70s, which is so weird because you've got major names like Hall & Oates, Toto, and then the freaking Pina Colada song is yacht rock. Which some people don't really think about. Masterclass, the teaching website where it teaches you how to like, it's like DeadMau5, we'll teach you how to do EDM music. There's one that's about yacht rock and it says that it's just really glossy soft rock that focuses a lot on harmony and really crisp production. And it's one of the genres where the vocals and the actual like quality of voice is so important.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those main contenders have actual beautiful voices. Where I mean today, which is it's cool that anyone can make music. It's pretty accessible now. But when I think of yacht rock, for some reason I just think of like beautiful guys singing beautiful voices on beautiful boats. Like I don't know. But yeah, it is interesting to see that transition that he was able to make. Like Loggins and Messina literally has an album called Full Sail. 1973. Album cover is them on a boat.
Yep. You bought me that LP.
I didn't. But like Sailing in the Wind, it's just like a cute little, like you even hear the little boat bells in the beginning. And what do you think about that?
If we're talking about, you know, Kenny, he really did start with Jim Messina. Kind of almost, that was like, it almost was like bordering on like 70s country. Very like folk sounding. And then towards the end, when he got to like 1976, 1977, the beginning of his career, I would say, was really like the dawn of yacht rock in a lot of ways. He kind of left Jim Messina and started talking to Michael McDonald and doing stuff with him. So
We mentioned this briefly before we started, I pressed the record button, but it's so interesting that he mostly works in duos, or he has to be in some sort of like collaborative team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't read his biography or his memoir, whatever it's called, but he talks so heavily about how important having collaboration is. Like, he says that Stevie Nicks saved his life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, teamwork. You've got Loggins and Messina. You've got Loggins and McDonald. And then even as of 2017, you've got Loggins and Thundercat. Like, what the heck? That's really cool. Yeah. That he's, like, still willing to integrate into, like, the popular setting now, which I think is really, I don't know. I love, and I love Thundercat.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big bass guy, if you didn't know, okay? But... Yeah, no, Yacht Rock, the name comes from a comedy web series called Yacht Rock. It actually wasn't even called Yacht Rock in the 70s. They like, I don't want to say posthumously because it made it seem like someone died.
Yeah.
But, like, the name didn't come till 2005, which is so interesting that, like,
wow.
I think they just called it, like, soft pop almost.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely some major contenders there, like... Mm-hmm. Rosanna by Toto.
Oh, yeah.
Baby Come Back by Player.
Yeah.
The Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes. And then anything that Steely Dan did.
Oh, yeah.
Just really cool. And then also on that same masterclass article, there's three really important qualities about Yacht Rock. Number one, crystalline production has to be crisp.
Very crisp.
Has to be crisp, like a fresh can of Sprite. And then two, harmonic sophistication. I don't like how I feel like Siri right now. And number three, has to be centered in LA, which I think also adds to the, like, the yacht rock thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate saying yacht rock. How would I say it 30 times in a row? Yacht rock, yacht rock, yacht. I actually can't do that. But so many of the recording sessions actually happened not too far from here, and Marina Del Rey, which is like,
yeah,
I'm pointing, but no one can see my.
You can't see it, guys.
You can't see my arm. Up northwest. Yeah, that's cool. But what would you say? Pick a year.
Pick a year.
Pick a year in the '70s. pick a year in the '70s.
Okay.
Who dominated?
Oh, that's tough. Well, if I pick, let's say, like, 1979, I'd say Kenny was dominating, actually. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Keep the Fire, his third album, came out that year. And was when, 1979, Keep the Fire. That was, you gotta love the album cover. If you don't know what the album... If you don't know what the album cover looks like, Kenny Loggins is looking like Jesus holding this ethereal ball.
It's actually so camp. I love it.
Oh, it's like, it's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, is that the one that's like, this is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. And that's what I was going to bring up, too. This
Make
is it.
Make no mistake where you are. Ew.
That song alone really catapulted his career. Won a Grammy for it. Man, it's so crazy watching those old Grammy Awards, because they used to do, like, the orchestra version of, like, each song, and Kenny goes up there and makes this short little speech.
Of course he does.
But yeah, it's just crazy. I think that was really, like, one of the major high points in his career, and in Yacht Rock, broadly speaking.
One thing that, like, I know this isn't necessarily connected. Yacht Rock makes me think of being outside, being on a boat. He has been a massive, like, environmental activist for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually read something that kind of made me laugh, but I was also like, wait, that's so sick. He, like, played... Oh, wait, let me see if I get this right. This is from an article about him. This is not me adding anything. Kenny Loggins performed live for dolphins in 1992 as a part of an Earth Trust experiment to research dolphin intelligence.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So cool.
Like, why not, you know?
But, like, he has the capability, and he's been given, like, he's got a pretty big resume.
Yeah.
Kenny Loggins, award-winning singer-songwriter and humanitarian, and certified graduates of the Community Environmental Council UC Climate Stewards Program, are the recipient of the CEC 2022 Santa Barbara Earth Day Environmental Hero Award.
Yeah.
He's like, what, 70-something? Almost 80?
I think he's like 73 or 74.
This was...
Yeah.
Oh, it's November.
I know.
That's so cool that he's still super avidly participating.
Oh,
in that.
Yeah.
He, I didn't even know he lived in Montecito, which is like not that far. It's, it is pretty far. It's like 3 hours from here.
It's closer than our home, though, I guess, Vegas.
True.
Yeah.
True. And people would say, actually, not people, Al Gore would say that his song Conviction of the Heart is the environmental anthem.
Oh, yeah.
The unofficial anthem of the environmental movement in 1995, which is so cool that there is like, there is a way to have crossover like that. Because that's something I've been struggling with these past few weeks. Like, what am I going to do as a career? I care so much about music, but I also care a lot about sociological work and wanting to like do some sort of sustainability work somewhere. But like, he played for Dolphins. Like,
that's incredible.
And I don't even know how you find job opportunities like that. But I guess, I don't know.
Kenny would do that,
He played Conviction of the Heart on Earth Day at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to a crowd of 500,000.
Wow.
I don't know. It's just cool that someone cares about it so heavily.
Oh,
but
yeah. When he released Leap of Faith, his 1991 record, that's what Conviction of the Heart is on.
Mm-hmm.
He was, like, super into the environment at the time. And he still is. But that was, like... Even, like, the whole, like, vibe and sound of that album is very, like...
Tropical, almost?
Tropical. Yeah, I guess. Or maybe kind of, like...
Jungly.
Jungly, like, maybe, like, tribally.
Yes.
Really, it really is beautiful. And there's a lot of stories about that album, too. He almost lost that album.
Mm. How come?
Well, it's funny. I went to a show of his over the summer. It was either in June or July. I think it was, towards the end of June. Performing in Vegas at the Wynn. Great concert. It was more of like, he'd perform a song or two, and then this other guy would come up. I don't remember his name. He would like ask Kenny questions, and we'll play a song and then we'll tell a story about the song type thing.
Cool.
So cool. And he said, and this is in short, I'm very, totally summarizing this, but he said the material for the record was in this like van. And the van had been stolen, or like,
no.
I don't remember if the van was stolen or everything in the van was stolen. I think everything in the van was stolen, except for like a few things in like the center console and glove box. And that was like literally his entire record was in the van.
Oh, geez.
And he was like, I got to get this record out in like 2 or 3 weeks and I don't know what I'm going to do. So his crew spent a long time looking for it and they actually found it. So, the record that we're hearing today on Leap of Faith might not have happened if his crew didn't find it, which is crazy to think about, but yeah, that's just one little story.
He just seems like a cool grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Even hearing about, he didn't really think he was doing much when he started doing Yacht Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he probably wouldn't even call it that, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
But he just wears his influences on his sleeves. Like, he really likes Marvin Gaye and really likes the Isley Brothers. Really seeing a lot of Motown influence and
100%.
Like Michael McDonald collaborations in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And then also this R&B thing that took place with, especially with Michael McDonald. And like, what's the other guy he worked with? Tommy Johnston, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And almost was like a... brought in some weird Aretha Franklin influence in there.
Yeah.
It's so...
Yeah. He had some influence from the Supremes on his Heart to Heart album.
See, and that makes total sense. And that makes total sense.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But yeah, like I mentioned earlier, it's so cool to see that he's still willing to, like, I guess, make those hybrids, which seems like a weird word. But all I could think about is, like, ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy.
Kenny Loggins.
And that with Thundercat. And like, ladies and gentlemen, Michael McDonald. Like, that's so cool that, like, people see this as something beautiful and good. Mm-hmm. And I understand why every man over the age of 55 just always goes back to it. There's something so easy to listen to about it. And and then on the topic of, like, I guess every man over the age of 55, like, the movie stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck?
Oh, like,
every article that I've read, well, I'll say almost unanimously that the most popular movie soundtrack would be Top Gun, which he happened to make the, like, the biggest track. I think it got number one on the Billboard charts. Yeah. He did a myriad of other scores, like the other notable ones are Footloose and Caddyshack, which were also huge at catapulting him and carrying him over into the next decade, which is like really important. But like you've got some crazy contenders up there, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, like all the big ones. Or I like the Blade Runner soundtrack, but we don't need to get into that. But did you watch any of the movies as a kid? Like, did you watch Top Gun?
You know, I haven't. And this is, I love Kenny Loggins, so it pains me to say this, but I've yet to see Caddyshack, but
I haven't either. My dad loves it.
Oh, so I really want to see it. I've seen clips and I think it's hilarious. But yeah, I'm All Right from Caddyshack was like a really big thing for him. Mm-hmm. That was like his first movie gig, and he did a wonderful job with it. And then he went into, I think right after that was Top Gun. He did Playing with the Boys and Danger Zone. Everybody knows Danger Zone.
Yeah.
And then he did some more in the 80s. I think he did a song for Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
Mm.
It's another wrestling movie. Who doesn't love Sylvester Stallone? And then I think, that's all I know off the top of the head. But he's just like, Kenny's a powerhouse. And when it comes to making music for movies, he's just... I think he's one of the best lyricists I've ever heard in my life.
And it's still cool to me that I don't want to get slaughtered because I haven't seen the new Top Gun yet, but that they still have, like, they were able to recreate the movies this year.
Yeah.
And I think Top Gun, and I think there was a remake of Footloose, or was there a remake of Caddyshack? I don't remember.
It was Footloose, and Blake Shelton did I think he did Footloose.
Which, that's so cool that you still you have what, like 40 years where your music is still equally as impactful as the first time that it hit the screens and hit the radio. Because from 1980 to 1988, he had 4 number one Billboard top hits, and they were all 4 soundtracks, which is so, I don't know. I think it's
he's just good at it.
He's just good at making movie music, but also, I think it's so perfectly dated. Whenever I think of like the 50s, I think of Elvis, or if I think of like the 60s, I think of like the Beatles.
Yeah.
But then, like, Kenny just, it's the, people would probably think of Michael Jackson if you thought of the 80s.
Sure.
But, like, for some reason, I feel like he's just this weird little piece of tape that stretches over the both of them.
Yeah.
Like, in an undercurrent.
Yeah.
Like, not many people would contend for him to be one of the most important figures, but, like.
Oh, yeah.
It's so obvious that he had kind of his handprints everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, it's cool. Like, I mentioned to you before we started recording that people love like Kenny and like Yacht Rock so much that on SNL Bill Hader and Fred Armisen, the two men I'd probably lay my life down for, quite honestly, made a fictional soft rock band called the Blue Jean Committee.
So good.
And I think it started off as like a parody of the Eagles, or Eagles, sorry, there's no the in the beginning. but they made a 3-hour documentary movie.
Oh.
And they ended up from that documentary movie making an EP. And there's actually some like fire songs on there, even though it's like satirical and fake. Like, when you I'm gonna find their description actually, because it's like had you not known that it was just Fred Armisen mm-hmm. and Bill Hader, you'd probably suspect that this was a real group in the 70s, which I think is so funny.
Oh, yes.
One of the leading soft rock acts in the 70s, the Blue Jean Committee rode the wave of the California sound with its multi-platinum album, Catalina Breeze, even though the band was based out of Chicago. The Blue Jean Committee was formed by guitarist and singer Gene Allen and bassist and harmony vocalist Clark Honus. You go to the bottom and it says, basically says, like, by the way, this is fake. Because they say that they went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they're like, the Blue Jean Committee first emerged in a Saturday Night Live sketch in 2011. And in 2014, Armisen and Hader cut a new version of the song performed on BJC on the show Massachusetts Afternoon, which was released by Drag City Records on a split single with a song by another non-existent band, Armisen conjured. For SNL, the Fingerlings, which is so, like, I love that. Like, yeah. Drawing so much inspiration from Hall & Oates, yep. Kenny Loggins.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in the skit, mm-hmm. Kenny Loggins makes a cameo, which is, like, so funny. Like, I love the self-awareness, and he just seems so nice.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't, like, all of his pictures, he's got this little soft smile, and he's just, like, always has his head tilted a little bit. But, like, I don't know. You like SNL, like any other guy, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't love SNL? I love
people
SNL.
People that don't have fun.
Yeah, like, terrible
well, actually,
people.
Well, actually, old SNL. I like old SNL.
Old SNL hits different.
Ew, you didn't say that.
It does. But old SNL hits different.
Old SNL actually hits monumentally different. But see, like, they are capitalizing on the main characteristics of Yacht Rock. The EP on the Blue Jean Committee project is spot on with their harmonies and, like, just have this really weird funky R&B pop slower tempo West Coast sound, and I don't even know how else to say that.
Yeah.
Also Steely Dan.
Oh, gotta love Donald Fagen. Gotta love Donald Fagen.
Real. Let's see. What am I looking at? Oh, did you know one of my favorite unknown Kenny facts is that one of my favorite early psych rock bands called the Electric Prunes, they were having a lot of financial trouble in 1968, and they just needed another guitarist, so he joined for like a year. And no one really knows. No one, like, these guys are from,
I did not know
that.
What
is it called? San Fernando Valley, which is about an hour north of here.
Yeah.
And I think they're still pretty unknown, like, as far as, like, their impact. But I love them. On my last radio show over the summer, I did a psych rock episode and talked about that a little bit. But, yeah, just, like, he's been everywhere, and he has so much experience in so many different categories, like being a guitarist for this psych rock band, but also Summer in a Sky. Like, I don't know. And then he's making these big Top Gun Tom Cruise sounds.
Yeah, he's crazy because, you know, he starts his career in, like, his solo career in 77,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost as if his career never stops growing ever. Like, his level of popularity and his quality of music just keeps increasing.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
so
from
good.
That, we have so many different cool predecessors. Like, I think of Ambrosia.
Mm-hmm. David Pack.
Christopher Cross, maybe. Mm-hmm. Huey Lewis and the News, even. If you're an American Psycho fan, okay? What is this?
Just don't watch the rehearsals for We Are the World.
Oh,
if
my...
you like Huey Lewis.
Wait, is that the one from the 90s?
85.
Oh, okay. Well, there's one... I don't know why. There's one performance of that where Bob Dylan is in it,
mm-hmm.
and he just looks so miserable.
Mm-hmm.
He... I know he was kind of happy to be there. He had to have been. He's singing We Are the World. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
But he's in a crowd of people. They're all swaying, and he's just literally gazing into an abyss.
We are the world.
I know. I hate it. But yeah, also, I just love his voice. Not Bob Dylan. Kind of. But
you always get mixed reviews on Bob Dylan.
Did Kenny Loggins do anything for Rocky IV, or is that the on top thing?
I don't think he did. I think Over the Top is like a separate thing.
Oh my God. Gladys Knight. Yes. And Kenny Loggins, yep. Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing.
Okay. See, once again, that was another one that kept repeating in those top movie circulations. It was a name that was circulated.
Yep. It's a great song. It's Double really or Nothing's cool. Great. I mean, who doesn't like Gladys Knight? She's got that.
And the Pips.
Really, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Real. If your house was on fire, this is actually not a hypothetical. I'm going to commit arson in Vegas tomorrow. You have to make this choice.
I'm
now.
Not going back by tomorrow.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, you have to because your house is on fire.
Okay.
You collect vinyl, just like me.
Yeah.
What are you grabbing? Three. You only have three choices.
Three choice. Like three. Okay. Celebrate Me Home by Kenny Loggins. Everybody who knows me knows that Michael Jackson is number one for me, so I have to say Thriller.
Yes.
Celebrate Me Home, Thriller, and right now, I'd probably grab Young Guns Silver Fox's Canyons album, which came out
in
2020. Are like, if anybody is reviving Yacht
so
Rock,
derivative and
it's
really
them.
Good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They are like the modern captains of Yacht Rock right now. They're incredible.
I can hear that.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are my three. Kenny, Michael, and Young Gun Silver Fox. My little plug for Young Gun Silver Fox.
Yeah. So, this is where I'm actually going to stop you so you don't plug anybody else. Just kidding. Yeah. No, I appreciate what they're doing a lot. There's a lot of cool torchbearers now.
Like, yeah.
Not necessarily for Yacht Rock, but I really appreciate what other bands are doing to help, like, revitalize rock as a whole. Like, Black Midi and Greta Van Fleet. But I'll talk about Greta Van Fleet another time.
Greta Van Fleet's sick.
They're cool, but they postponed their show.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go. Okay, I know you didn't ask me this, but if mine was on fire, my house is on fire. All my records are actually here, so if my dorm was on fire, my little closet was on fire.
Okay. All your records are here?
I have like a third of them here.
Okay. Wow. That's still a lot, though.
If I'm going to stay in the 70s track, I'd say I'd grab Hajira by Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh my God, wait, do I even own 70s records? Wait a minute.
Well, Joni Mitchell's definitely...
Okay, easy answer. Cord and Spark by Joni Mitchell. The Hissing of the Summer Lawns by Joni Mitchell. Hejira by Joni Mitchell. What do I even own? Wait, what is it? Spirits Having Flown by the Bee Gees is a 70s one that I own.
Bee Gees.
Bee Gees. Yeah, I don't know. It's Joni Mitchell. I'm just going to actually avoid the prompt and open it to more than 70s. Joni Mitchell, Hejira. The Princess Mononoke soundtrack by Joe Hisaishi. And I love music. Why is this so hard?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'd have to grab my Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs by Marty Robbins. My grandpa gave me that. The one with Big Iron on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I like cowboy sounds, okay? What's the problem with that?
Nothing.
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 Hey guys, this is a reference to a video game. Big Iron, do you understand my reference? No, I...
Red Dead Redemption 2.
No, who would ever play that? Guys, I know we're not talking about this. Play Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's very good.
If you want to be emotionally connected to fictional characters in an unhealthy parasocial manner,
yeah,
I would consider doing it with Arthur Morgan. Because the story is so rich and cool.
Yeah.
But... Okay.
Great.
Last question I'll ask you, unless you have any remaining thoughts. What is your favorite collaborative project between the two of Kenny and another individual?
Even if you go through his albums, he's collaborated with El DeBarge.
Interesting.
On his Vox Humana album, on the song's called I'll Be There. He collaborated with the Pointer Sisters too for I'm Gonna Do It Right, which is also on Vox Humana. He did a collaboration, like a, it's like a part collaboration with Shanice in 1993. Yes, go listen to it if you haven't. It's so, Vox Humana is a great album. Anyway.
Album cover is so horrifying.
It's so horrifying, but it's you know, it's like mid-80s. What do you expect? It's like pastels and just crazy stuff. It's like, it's just the, it's,
the same,
it's reminiscent
sentiment.
Of the
right.
Pastels. Yeah. Oh, did I mention he collaborated? Did I mention he collaborated with Michael Jackson?
No, talk about that.
Yeah. So he, if we go all the way back to Kenny's third studio album, Keep the Fire, the song called Who's Right, Who's Wrong, Michael's actually doing backup vocals on that song. If you listen closely, you can hear him. Man, if they had collaborated more, they would have created incredible music. But, oh man, I'd probably have to say that'd probably be my favorite. Michael McDonald, man. Come on. The really cool thing about Kenny and Michael is they would, like, they would write music together and then release it separately.
Mm.
So, like, mm-hmm. The Doobie Brothers have their own version of What a Fool Believes. Kenny has his own version of that.
I think it's a little bit... I think I prefer the Doobie Brothers
yeah.
version, quite
oh,
honestly. 100%. But
yeah. Kenny did great, but Michael really...
But the writing still.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was there.
I changed my mind. The writing that Michael and Kenny were capable of
mm-hmm.
was unparalleled.
Especially for that time.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. They really both came out of nowhere. Kenny came from, you know, doing stuff with Jim Messina. And then Michael was actually a backup vocalist for Steely Dan at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they found each other and just created great stuff. So I'd have to say Michael and Kenny are the best collaboration.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate them. I almost went and saw Loggins and Messina at the Hollywood Bowl. But I didn't because it was
I
on like a Wednesday
it.
Night
mm-hmm.
and it was like, and Hollywood, yeah. which it's
yeah.
so far.
Yeah, it's tough.
But that would have been sick.
Yeah.
But how many times have you seen them?
I haven't seen Michael yet.
Okay.
But I've seen Kenny 3 times.
That's so cool.
Yeah. He is incredible. His voice is still going.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing good.
He's trudging along.
I almost met him one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I held back because I was afraid and I didn't want to bother him.
Okay, why is talking to celebrities so intimidating?
I don't
They're
know.
They're just normal people.
I don't know. I've heard he's such a nice, wonderful human being, too.
You have to be if you play for Dolphins.
Very true.
But yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up today. I'll do another a little... plug for myself. You can follow me on Spotify at KayleiForNia. And then if you want to see Andrew's playlist, you can follow him on Spotify too at Andrew Ambrose.
He has very complicated.
he's got a handful of playlists that are specific to specific decades and
yeah.
they're very cool and full of all of those little 70s leaning musical things, and then Chaka Khan and
literally everybody ever,
literally the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
What can I make fun of you for?
Oh,
on main here?
I have a lot of
what can
material.
I make fun of you for?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got a lot to pull from there.
Oh, we got a playlist that I made on your computer called Among Us Burger. Among Us Burger. And then we've got the Bee Gees, After 7, Car Radio by 21 Pilots,
oh, yeah.
32 times.
Because he was 32 years old at the time. Okay. Tyler Joseph!
God.
I did that for my brother.
Right, it wasn't for
right.
your own
no,
personal.
No, 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 it was not.
You've got a Rick Astley playlist.
Which has like 4 songs.
You've got Bread, which I wish we would have talked about more, actually.
Oh.
Bread is so based. Not the carb snack, okay? The 70s band. I love them.
Me too.
And then
Me too.
James Taylor...
Oh,
Jason Mraz, Weird Al.
I had a Jason Mraz kick
oh,
there for,
mama,
for like a
year. Oh, mama, these
are
getting worse the more you go down.
They get more modern the
Imagine
more you go
Imagine Dragons.
Yes. Okay, Night Visions was incredible.
Okay, actually real. I would always listen to Demons or Radioactive in like fifth grade and pretend that I was in the music video because I was like, I'd look out the car window like, oh, this song's about me actually. No, I'm overcoming this battle right now. And it was like, I think that's like a milestone for most young kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I need to pretend that I'm in an Imagine Dragons music video.
100%. I'm one of the puppets in Radioactive, you know.
That's so good. Well, anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning in. If you have a suggestion, if you would like to come and talk with me about random things, let me know on Instagram at @KAYLEIGH_SHULTS. And I'm looking forward to the next time I do something with somebody, because I like talking about stuff. So thank you for listening to Kaylee's Corner, and I will see you next time. Ciao.